This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx. Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you'll play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said, she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Right, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
there. We listened to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Monday, April 8th. And what do you think about this one?
This is the best one yet, Nick.
My favorite Snacks Daily we've ever done.
We got three awesome stories for you.
Jack and I spent all weekend. We jumped right into these.
Kicking it off with Bumble. It's launching a physical magazine, the dating app.
Do not tell the CEO it's just a dating app. It is so not a dating app.
Second story is about Snapchat. It's getting into video games for non-video gamers.
Investors have been desperately wanting a reason to love Snap. Here it is.
It had a huge week. And the third and final story is about the huge U.S. American jobs report. Everyone's excited about it, but we got one reason not to be.
Paychecks, the size of them, we'll get into it. Now, before we get into all that, we got to talk about the market's seven-day win streak. How did you celebrate
that? The S&P 500 rose 7 days in a row heading into Friday.
We need a rest after 7 days.
So
what did you do all
weekend? I celebrated with a pepperoni pizza. And
very
then
nice.
On the way back to the car, stopped into a movie theater. Just did the classic pop-ins.
Spontaneous?
My fiance and I, we didn't even know what the movie was. We just went in. No expectations.
I don't even know what movies are playing these days.
It was all gravy. The movie was solid.
I did a yoga, and then I fell asleep in Shavasana. And I'm cool with that.
Congrats, Nick.
All right, before we hit up the rest of the Snacks Daily pod, enjoy this key message.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, we got to talk about Bumble,
which is the dating app where ladies make the first move.
They are launching a physical magazine.
Right. And remember, Bumble is like Tinder, but far fewer cheesy opening lines for men.
And full disclosure here, I'm married, Jack is engaged, but we are in love with this strategy and this business.
Love at first sight. Last week, Bumble announced Bumble Mag, which is a physical print magazine publication.
Remember what those were?
Yeah. Looks really good on a coffee table.
Now, this is from a partnership they're doing with the magazine company Hearst.
Yeah, Hearst is an OG magazine publisher, and issue number one has 100 pages. This is the real deal. This is thick.
This is coffee table material.
This is like a paperweight becomes a coffee table book.
Now, this is key because it's elevating the Bumble brand very significantly, because it's not just about, you know, hookups. This is the kind of thing when you have this magazine, you know, you'd be proud to show your parents that.
This says to the world, Bumble should not be a taboo subject. Like, show Bumble off. We are dignified.
And Bumble
and legit.
Is big. Bumble has 50 million users.
Totally surprised me. That is a big number. And so the deal with this magazine, anyone can request them and get it delivered to your door. But the first 3,000 are going to the brand ambassadors that have helped Bumble grow.
Now, if you want to flick through the pages, you're going to see some good stuff from contributors like Bumble advisor Serena Williams.
Yep, and Jen Rubio, who co-founded the luggage company Away that everybody loves.
Now, this is why we're fascinated with this strategy. This is a huge differentiator for Bumble before it plans to IPO.
Right, and Bumble needs to differentiate because the giant in the dating room is Match.com. Match Group dominates this space. It owns Tinder, OkCupid. It owns Our Time, which I just Googled and realized is a dating app for 50-plus-year-olds.
Fantastic. Now, Match, by the way, has 25 or more of these dating apps. They've just been acquiring, and they bought a majority of Hinge last summer.
Yeah, so the Bumble CEO, Whitney Wolf, who is a legend, she used to be the co-founder at Tinder. Then she started Bumble, and she referenced last year that she wants to IPO the company, like, soon.
And on this path to the IPO, this magazine is part of a really interesting theme because Bumble's been focusing on offline.
Again, not just a dating app, things in real life where real life people can see each other.
Can we talk about the hives here?
Yes, the beehives. Actually, we should call them Bumble hives because we don't want to confuse this with Beyonce.
No.
But it's a club space where professional women can get together. They can find people to date, they can find friends, or they can just network.
Check out the Hive website for the location of Vancouver. Here is the opening quote on the website. Meet your match in real life or network with interesting people.
We couldn't figure out how many Bumble hives there are, but we've seen them popping up in lots of different places.
There are a good number of hives. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Bumble?
Bumble can't just be a dating app if it wants to IPO.
No, it's got its core product, and now it's introducing something completely different than its core product. And the result
is a lifestyle brand.
They've taken a dating app and they've turned this into a community for professional women, not just on the dating app, and in life.
If you become a lifestyle brand, that will keep your users loyal and it will get users to pay more. That's the beauty of a lifestyle brand.
Now, all this makes us think about now is, when is the Snacks Mag coming out?
And will it be a monthly or a weekly?
I think it may be an annual. For our second story, Snapchat shares jumped last week.
Finally.
After a big event and like an even bigger new product.
The company needed this really badly.
Can we talk about the last three quarters? You want to rattle them off?
Snapchat's parent company is called Snap. And the last three quarters, it's the number of users using Snapchat has fallen. We're not talking about slowing user growth. We're
not
talking
just
about
flat.
Shrinkage. Three quarters in a row, it's been falling, falling, and then just barely flat last quarter.
There are two key reasons for this. The first is Facebook copied its main feature.
That's the number one issue that's always been Snap's problem. In 2016, Instagram copied and pasted its entire business model, and it's called Instagram Stories.
And now Instagram Stories has like 500 million daily active users, and where's Snap at?
It's at 186 million, so about a third as many people use Snap as its copycat at Instagram.
Now, Snapchat's like other drama issue was almost exactly a year ago when it redesigned itself.
Yes, that was a disastrous redesign. Users hated it.
Kylie Jenner
hated it so much, she tweeted out about it, and that erased like billions of dollars of Snap value.
Now, we're going to step a little further back. 2 years ago is when Snapchat IPO'd, and the stock since then is down how much?
58%.
58% since its IPO.
It's a shadow of its former self.
Now, let's Snapchat fast forward right now to today. Over the last week, Snapchat shares jumped 6% because of this first ever partner summit.
It looked like so much fun.
Sounded like a blast.
I wasn't there, but it was in Los Angeles. I saw the whole thing on people's Snapchats.
It was great.
Serious FOMO. And the whole thing was about its new gaming feature.
Can you walk us through what's going on here? Because this hasn't rolled out to everyone's Snapchat app.
It hasn't even rolled out to me, which is annoying. It's only gone to like 10% of users so far. But I checked out the Google and I found that there is a tab at the bottom of Snapchat. It looks like a little rocket ship. And that is the gaming feature. You can invite friends to play games with that little button.
Now, the key game that Snapchat's promoting here is Bitmoji Party.
Yes.
Now, Bitmoji being the company it bought in 2016 for $100 million.
And it's a Bitmoji combination of emojis and avatars.
Right. It's a better looking virtual version of yourself.
It's a customized cartoon version of yourself that looks way cuter than you.
Now, the fun thing about this little Bitmoji party is you get to like virtually fool around with your friends, like throw them into a pool or something.
Yeah, it's like a summer camp for your Bitmoji, and you get to play. It looks really, there's all sorts of
but
different
games. You don't actually
features.
Have to like schlep up to a summer camp.
And during the game, you are talking and chatting with your friends. So it's like you're hanging out, but not
now,
physically.
Snapchat's like using this basically to just squeeze engagement out of its user base because its user base isn't growing.
Not just that. It's also trying to get people to come to Snap.
Finally.
By differentiating from Instagram.
Because remember, Snapchat's key focus is ads.
Yes.
In the end.
It needs to sell ads. That's how it pleases investors.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in LA at Snapchat?
Snapchat is now a gaming company for non-gamers.
Fortnite, EA, Activision, Blizzard, esports, those are chasing serious guy and girl gamers.
Right.
Those are serious games.
The ones who have like three joysticks, two headsets.
And those monitors.
And like a command center
something
for playing
out of the
video
Matrix.
Games. Snapchat, on the other hand, this is just a phone. It's just an app. And it's chasing chill social gamers who are addicted to their phones.
People who just are on their phones all day. What
I read an article this weekend, Nick. Cosmopolitan, another magazine company.
Yep.
They're chasing 18 to 36-year-old women. And the CEO mentioned that those customers open Instagram 42 times a day.
Let that sink in. 42.
Users at this age that Snap's targeting, they love their phones. They want to do everything on their phone.
Socialize or play, Snap wants them. For our third and final story, we got to talk about the jobs report.
It happens the first Friday of every month.
Circle your calendars, tell your friends.
This past Friday was for the month of March.
And this was record high employment.
America showed us its progress report, just like a third grader.
Put it on the fridge.
But this was for how many jobs were created in the United States of America in the month of March.
Give me the number.
196,000.
Unemployment rate?
3.8%.
Oh, and Jack, I'm a history major here. Give us some, I want some historical context I can bite into.
We are in a blessed moment. There have been 102 straight months of positive job creation. And Nick, that follows in 2008 and 2009, we had a streak of 23 straight job losses.
During the financial crisis.
Yes. And let me give you a couple more.
You're overloading.
November,
I can barely take notes here.
November 2008, 800,000 jobs lost. January, a couple months later, 700,000 jobs lost.
In the middle of the financial crisis.
So we are gaining now. Things are good.
Significantly. So Jack and I, you know, we spent our weekends when we're not doing yoga or movies jumping into jobs reports and econ data for you. We found some interesting highlights.
Yeah, a couple highlights. Education and the healthcare sector added 70,000 jobs.
That was the top growing sector.
Yeah, and that is nearly double the next best industry.
Right. The next best industry was services, like white collar jobs.
Lawyers, accountants, consultants, they added like 37,000 new positions.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, manufacturing did not win.
People with hammers and nails and actually building real things, that had its first decline since 17.
And then retail, the retail sector, selling of things in stores.
It's actually the only sector that has had three straight years of jobs declines.
They lost 12,000 jobs last month. So Jack, what's the takeaway for what seemed like an epic jobs report?
Wages.
Yes.
Wages are the problem. We haven't talked about wages yet. It's about how much paycheck am I getting?
Can we talk about wages?
Let's do it now.
All right. So in the last year, wages have risen 3.2%.
Exactly. In March, if you look at the jobs report, you see that Americans on average made something like $26.22 per hour.
Which like seems like it could be okay, except the cost of living in life that you're going to actually spend those wages on, it's been going up.
Right. So you got paid 3.2% better than last year, but wait, cost of living, your rent, your food, everything else, it might have gone up by the same amount.
So you're basically A, no better off, and B, this is even worse because meanwhile, we're talking about all this incredible job street gaining we've had since the financial crisis.
Right. So if you look at paychecks, the bottom 60% of earners in America, they actually have no real pay increase since 1980.
While the high income earners are doing just fine as the jobs growth has continued at a record pace.
Right. And the summary of all this is inequality, and it's why we're seeing dramatic changes to our economy, like minimum wage increases, strikes.
A lot of things on the ballot and a lot more things in 2020 for proposals.
Right. So things are not good for everybody.
Jack, why don't you whip up the takeaways for
Snapchat
us?
Has developed games, but they're pretty much for non-gamer
and
types.
And are like better looking than us Bitmojis. We're still waiting for this thing to happen.
Okay. And then Bumble came out with a magazine because it's not just a dating app.
It is a lifestyle brand because lifestyle brands are stronger especially when they're offline and online.
Finally, jobs report Friday was nice, but the big asterisk was wages. It's still a problem in this economy.
Lots of jobs out there, just lots of them aren't getting pay promotions. All right, time for our snack fact of the day. This one I like.
Finally, a sriracha-based snack fact of the day.
The people have asked, and we shall deliver.
Hoi Fong Foods, which is based in Irwindale, California, has a rooster on the label of every sriracha bottle because the founder was born the year of the rooster.
And he is ethnically Chinese. And also, we looked into the numbers a little more.
Sriracha is impressive, to say the least.
He's doing pretty well.
9.9% of the U.S. hot sauce market is dominated by spicy sriracha.
Not too bad. The rest of the week, we cannot wait to be with you because this is a big week.
We're kicking off first quarter earnings season. So the first companies are reporting their January through March results. We will be there every day with you on the Snacks Daily Pod to break it down.
And in the newsletter. Thanks for joining us to start.
Talk to you tomorrow.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.